Women's Health Melbourne is an innovative, holistic fertility and women's health practice. We are world leaders in IVF and egg freezing and provide our patients with every opportunity to achieve their goals.
Our hand-picked, expert team provides the ultimate care experience for our patients. Reach us at womenshealthmelbourne.com.au and follow us at Women's Health Melbourne and at Dr. Raylia Liu. Hello and welcome back to Knocked Up, the podcast about fertility and women's health. You are joined, as always, by me, Geordie Morrison, and Dr. Raylia Liu, CREI Fertility Specialist. Welcome, Raylia.
Hi, how are you, Geordie?
I'm great, and we're doing a very topical episode today as April is Caesarean Awareness Month.
It is, and we've never done an episode of Knocked Up on this topic before.
No, we haven't, and it's certainly topical for many of our patients. Raylia, first question, what is a caesarean?
So I can tell you about this operation from multiple perspectives because as a retired obstetrician, which I call myself tongue in cheek, because now, as you know, my practice is bread and butter getting people pregnant, but I did train as an obstetrician as well as a gynecologist, and I've done literally thousands of caesarean sections in my time, although admittedly the last one was probably over a decade ago. In terms of caesareans, I've also had two as a mum, so I can talk from both perspectives. And a caesarean is a way of giving birth. It is an operation, a surgical procedure where a baby is born through an incision or a cut in the abdomen and in the uterus, the womb. The cut's generally, most of the time, made horizontally and low around the bikini line. And that type of incision surgically is called a fan and steel incision. There are some cases where we do a vertical incision for a caesarean, so from the belly button down to the pubic bone, and that is something that is generally done in very special cases and mostly for a type of caesarean called a classical caesarean section. And that's the type of caesarean that we sometimes have to do for very, very premature babies. But in general, we do what's called a lower segment caesarean section for term babies. And that's that horizontal incision just below the bikini line. So a caesarean can sometimes be planned and sometimes it can be called elective, and other times it can be an emergency choice and a decision that we need to make for medical reasons and that was unexpected from the beginning of the pregnancy.
I want to go back to the caesarean itself. We hear a lot of stories about birth taking 24 hours and obviously that's natural birth. But if you are having a caesarean, how long does that process take?
Taking a flashback to my days of an obstetric registrar and labour ward, you know, I could do a caesarean once we got to theatre in less than a minute. It's a way you can deliver a baby very, very quickly if you have to in an emergency. And it often takes longer when you do it electively. You're not in a hurry necessarily. But from knife to skin, so to speak, and baby out, any obstetrician worth their salt can get a baby out in under a minute.
Are there painkillers given to the mother?
Definitely.
Great. Reassuring. You've had two, Raylia. What do you feel?
I've had two. Well, I had two caesarean sections with what's called a spinal anaesthetic, and that's the most common type of anaesthetic for a caesarean. And what the anaesthetic doctor does is put a needle into a little space around the spinal cord and injects local anaesthetic to that area. And what it does is it makes you numb from usually the breathing muscle down, and you still feel touch. So it's a weird feeling. You don't feel pain, but you feel touch and you feel pressure. So a way that I would describe it is you kind of feel like someone's rummaging around in their handbag looking for keys, but it's your tummy. And that's what it feels like while they're getting your baby out.
Wow. Okay. And I think this is the most important question. Can you still cuddle your baby straight away afterwards?
That's a really good question. And it's an answer that is generally yes, if you have a healthy baby that doesn't need medical assistance. So it's a difficult one. And it also depends on the birth environment and the, some philosophy of the hospital and the obstetrician. In general, in Australia, we're very lucky and we have very mother-focused birth experiences, and generally obstetricians and midwives also particularly are committed to helping mothers have access to their babies and bond with their babies and even do skin to skin with their babies. And some clinicians, when things are not an emergency, also even do maternally assisted cesarean sections where they can, if somebody wants, drop the curtain and let the mother not only watch the baby being born but also help with the baby being born using her hands. So there's lots of different ways that you can do a cesarean. Now, that might totally freak some people out and other people might think it's wonderful. It really does come down to the individual, and in a perfect world, birth choices would be discussed. It's really important to just point out that cesarean is one type of birth, and a lot of people who have a cesarean hadn't planned on having a cesarean. It might have been an emergency cesarean, and that's a very different scenario to someone who's planned a cesarean for whatever reason. It might have been maternal request. They might have preferred a cesarean, or it might have been for some kind of obstetric reason that the baby is breech, or the baby is considered to be significantly large, or the mother might have a medical condition that makes vaginal birth more likely to be difficult or dangerous. And so some people have that time and mental space to prepare for a cesarean, and they also have the opportunity to speak to their care provider, generally a doctor, whether they're a public patient in the hospital system or with a private obstetrician who delivers the baby personally. They'll have a chance to talk to at least the team about what their preferences are and what to expect. That's a little different to somebody who was expecting to hopefully have a vaginal delivery and something went wrong that resulted in a cesarean being needed. Sometimes when that happens, it happens quickly and in an emergency situation, and those conversations unfortunately don't have time to happen. If the reason for a cesarean is fetal distress or you know, the baby being distressed, and if the baby is in any way compromised at birth and they need medical assistance themselves, then you may not be able to cuddle your baby directly after birth because the baby might have to go and be having medical help itself. So that's not always possible. And also generally, as I mentioned, most cesareans happen under a regional anaesthetic where the mum is awake, albeit anaesthetised from the waist down. Some anaesthetics in a serious obstetric emergency, and though in that kind of adrenaline pumping, get the baby out in less than a minute type of cesarean, might be a general anaesthetic, in which case the mother would not be conscious at the time of the cesarean.
And this is obviously quite different to giving birth vaginally. What's the recovery like on a cesarean?
So I would say that birth is one of these amazing life experiences that has a huge spectrum on what can happen. And you may have a vaginal birth and have a brilliant experience where you don't have any serious trauma or tears and you recover very quickly afterwards with no complications with delivering the placenta and no serious hemorrhage and no drama. And maybe the next day you're feeling not completely normal probably, but pretty reasonable. With a cesarean, for sure, you're going to have a at least 4-week recovery. And it is a major surgical procedure. You do have a wound that needs to heal. You will have restrictions afterwards and you won't be able to do everything you normally do immediately afterwards. You won't be able to exercise. You won't be able to walk normally. You'll be sore. You'll have pain. You'll need to take regular pain relief for at least a few days and potentially even a little bit longer. I personally, when I had cesareans, I needed serious pain relief for the first week and then I didn't. I think everyone's a little bit different. That's, I think, not an unusual experience. You are a bit sore and you're going to be mobility restricted after a cesarean birth compared to a vaginal birth where everything goes well. Now, you can have a vaginal birth where things are complicated. You might need an episiotomy, which is a cut to help the baby come out. You might need an instrumental delivery. You might have stitches or a serious tear, and you might not be fully back to normal straight away in those circumstances either. So it's important to consider that, I suppose, in the consideration of cesarean, there's a different recovery, but it's not always straightforward either way.
And what are the limitations in the first few weeks? I think I've heard you can't carry your baby. Is that right?
No, you can carry your baby. Babies are pretty light. You probably can't carry your toddler. So it's much harder second time round. I always tell patients who ask, can I pick up my toddler after a cesarean? I usually say, well, they can climb on your lap, you know, but you shouldn't lift them. And in terms of your restrictions, there are some restrictions that might be related to reflexes because you may be in some pain after a cesarean and you should check with your insurance company if you drive a car that you may not be insured if you have an accident within a certain amount of time after an abdominal surgery. And that's not just for cesarean, that's for any abdominal surgery. So usually we say don't drive for a month. Although that is not super strict, and I think check with your own insurance company. If you feel well enough, then probably you can.
And I want to get onto the good stuff, but I did just want to cover any risks that are involved.
Definitely. I'll just preface this with the fact that pregnancy is probably the most dangerous thing a woman can ever do in her life from a risk perspective. And in terms of cesarean, it's probably the operation that has saved the most lives in the history of the world, including mothers and babies. So it's not a dirty word and it's not something to worry about if it's something you need, because the recovery in first world medicine from a cesarean section is generally unremarkable. Any surgery has risks. You may have a risk of an infection after an operation. You may have risk of damage to structures in the pelvis during the operation or injury during the operation. In a very extreme situation, and this can happen with a vaginal birth also, if you had what's called a postpartum hemorrhage of a very serious nature that couldn't be stopped with multiple different methods and means, there is a risk of hysterectomy or removal of the uterus with a cesarean birth, as there is with a vaginal birth. There are risks of more serious tears to the uterus as the baby comes out that might change the mode of delivery next time. You can have a complication after any operation, like a blood clot or a deep vein thrombosis, and that is more common after giving birth, whether you've had a cesarean or not, but cesarean is also a risk factor. You sometimes might have a complication from the anesthetic that you have, a reaction to a drug. And sometimes when you do a spinal anesthetic, which is the type of local anesthetic we usually use to do a regional block for a cesarean, some people get a dural puncture headache afterwards and it can be quite awful. And that's when there's this little tiny hole in the dura, which is the ligament kind of capsule of the spinal cord that leaks fluid. And it can cause a headache. Usually it settles within a few days when that happens. And of course, you could have major blood loss requiring a blood transfusion from a cesarean. So from a maternal side, those are the risks. The most common problem for babies, and I'll just preface that by saying that from a fetal perspective or a baby's point of view, cesarean is technically probably, without wanting to upset anybody, because vaginal birth you know, is not a mode of delivery that I want to dissuade anyone from. And, you know, most people will have a vaginal birth. But I would say cesarean, from a baby's point of view, is one of the safest ways to be born because you don't have to go through labor. And labor, from a baby's point of view, is intermittent contraction of the uterus, where the blood flow to the placenta is intermittently paused as the uterine muscle contracts. And so I kind of explain it like the baby has to hold its breath when you're having a contraction. And I'll just preface that by saying most healthy babies can withstand that and are designed to withstand labor, but some won't for whatever reason. And that can be because the placenta has started to deteriorate in its function, and that can happen towards the end of pregnancy for some people. Or maybe the baby's cord is around its neck, or it might have a knot in the cord. There's different reasons that a baby can become distressed in labor, but cesarean gets the baby out quickly without labor.
Most people would never even know it was happening because their obstetrician would be managing everything, wouldn't they?
Well, that's right. Most people would be blissfully unaware, you know, of
and everything would work out, but we are just discussing what could happen.
Well, that's right. And so, look, I think the most common thing that can go wrong for a baby with a cesarean is short-term breathing difficulty, because the process of labor is also important in the baby adapting from the intrauterine circulation to the outer world circulation where the baby starts to breathe. And it happens faster with a cesarean. And
that's really
so about 1-2% of babies born by cesarean at term might have some breathing difficulty at birth and might need a little bit of help for a short period of time as they adapt. Technically, you could injure a baby delivering it, but that can happen really
anyway.
Any mode of assisted delivery, and it's very uncommon.
There are some benefits to having a cesarean. What are they?
Yeah, so the most important benefit of a cesarean is that it can save a baby's life in a time of danger, and that is the original and still most important indication for a cesarean. And in terms of the mother, there are also benefits. So again, it can save a mother's life in the context of an obstructed labor. And in countries where cesarean is not available, you know, there are many more situations where either the baby dies, the mother dies, or the mother and the baby die in labor. And I think that is really important for people to remember in the first world, because our systems and our care are so good here that these horrific events that happen on a daily basis without medical and midwifery assistance for birth hardly ever happen. And when they do happen, therefore they are shocking, but it is the natural history of childbirth that 1 in 10 babies and 1 in 100 mothers, up to those kind of numbers, will die in childbirth or in the postnatal state. So that is horrific in Australian eyes, but it is the reality of natural childbirth in human beings. So the cesareans were invented to save lives. In terms of benefits, cesareans have other benefits in terms of specific use in specific cases. There's a lot of pelvic floor injury that happens by being pregnant, and it happens separate to birth. Actually, just carrying a baby on the muscle of your pelvic floor causes some degree of stretch and injury and strain of the pelvic floor. However, giving birth vaginally can seriously injure the pelvic floor, and a lot of problems that women have in later life commonly, like urinary incontinence and prolapse, are related to vaginal delivery of a baby through the pelvis. And cesarean can help reduce your risk of those things happening to you in later life. And they do have, these kind of problems do have, you know, broader implications for things like, you know, aside from continence, you know, sexual function and confidence.
Going back to your day job and IVF, it seems like everyone who has IVF to conceive has a cesarean, or certainly a lot of people. That's clearly not the case, is my assumption. Why do we think that?
I don't think that's true. I would challenge that assumption, but I would admit that a lot more cesareans do happen if you look only at a population of people who've had IVF. And I think that there are multiple factors there. So one factor is the population of patients who have IVF. A, are more likely to have underlying other medical concerns that might mean they are recommended to have a cesarean. Certainly, there's an increased risk of multiple birth in IVF compared to natural conception, and there's an increased risk of cesarean delivery for twins and higher order multiple pregnancies. And also, IVF patients tend to be older, and sometimes every baby's a miracle baby, but when we've worked through cycle after cycle of turmoil and effort and expense to achieve a pregnancy against the odds, a lot of IVF patients are quite risk averse and they are worried about the risks inherent with the natural birthing process. Often they are older, and so those risks for them are higher. So when a mother is older, her risk of having an obstructed labor and requiring an emergency cesarean are much greater. Other risks of having blood pressure problems or having diabetes in pregnancy are much greater. And sometimes women choose to have a cesarean because they like to have that feeling of control and they'd like to get their baby out in the safest way possible for the baby, especially if it may be that they have been told that this may be their only baby that they can have.
Who else is suitable for a cesarean?
I guess controversial again, but for many years, babies who presented breech, so non-cephalic, not head down, a lot of obstetricians preferred to deliver by cesarean. And the reason for that is there was a big trial in the UK called the Term Breech Trial, and it showed that babies were more likely to suffer injury at birth if they were delivered vaginally in the breech presentation. And it's not that every breech baby has to be delivered by cesarean, but it's sometimes recommended to reduce the risk of the baby being harmed in the delivery.
With cesareans, is there any disadvantage to the baby?
Only those problems of the breathing issues. You know, there used to be an old adage of once a cesarean, always a cesarean. So you should think of your family size when you do have considerations of having a maternal request cesarean for your first baby, because that probably will be something that you continue. And, you know, while there's not a hard limit on the number of cesareans a person can have, they do become more dangerous. And we, as obstetricians, we're not highly excited about it if a woman comes back for her fourth or fifth or sixth cesarean. There are some complications of cesarean that become more common the more you have. One of those is the worry about uterine rupture in pregnancy, because the scar in the womb can cause a weak spot. And the other is a placenta problem, like placenta accreta or placenta percreta, where the placenta grows through into the muscle layer of the womb instead of being more superficially attached to the what we call decidua, which is the area that ultimately sheds when you give birth. And the placenta should separate when you give birth, and if the placenta grows into the muscle of the womb or through the muscle of the womb even, then sometimes a hysterectomy has to be done at birth. And so that's obviously not what anybody wants. So those are potential complications that are more common in women who've had cesareans. You can also have a cesarean section scar ectopic, a pregnancy that decides to lodge in that little weak spot. And that can be a serious situation and a pregnancy that can't continue. And you can also get a cesarean section scar area of fluid accumulation that can make it more difficult to get pregnant again. And although that is rare, it is a known complication of cesarean and a potential cause of infertility after cesarean delivery. Geordie, you yourself haven't at this stage had a baby. How do you feel?
Oh, really? I've been saying for years I would have an elective Caesar. And also now I'm in my 40s, so I am not a doctor, but I would believe in my 40s I would have no choice but to have an elective Caesar. And I'm absolutely fine with that. I think in my experience of what I have observed, there's so much focus on the giving of birth rather than actually looking after the baby. And my view is very much that the most important thing is that the mother and the baby are safe. And however that has to happen, it happens. I really, that's my view.
Yeah, look, I think that's a really common view amongst my patients as well. And I would argue with you that you don't have to have a cesarean just because you're 40. That's not true.
Well, I'm not 40. And I'm much older. But yes.
I know. But like if one is 40, you and I both, but if one is 40 plus, you know, it's not absolutely mandatory that you have a cesarean birth, but you may be gently coaxed in that direction by your obstetrician because of those other problems like the increased risk of obstructed labor, our tissues are not as stretchy as they once were, the increased risk of the baby being a bit big for your pelvis because that can happen as we get older with our metabolisms are a little bit insulin resistant compared to when we're younger and that can happen. But look, I think the most important thing is for, in terms of elective choice, that you be given a voice and that your obstetrician listens to you. And I think they generally are very clued in and very much on that wavelength these days. I think the days of paternalistic obstetrics are definitely gone. And I also think that, you know, people shouldn't feel like they're a failure if they have to have a cesarean, because at the end of the day, you know, big picture, you know, I promise when your child graduates from high school, no one's going to ask them how they were delivered. And the most important thing is that everybody's safe. And some people, I think, place so much value on achieving a vaginal delivery and then are devastated if they, for some reason, can't. And I really feel for people who have that kind of emotion. And I would just like to support any women out there in just suggesting that no matter how you give birth, you've created a miracle and you should feel that there's no failure in giving birth one way or another.
Aurelia, I'm going to turn the tables. Why did you have cesareans?
I had cesareans myself because at the time I felt it was the best way for my babies to be born, and through the decisions made together with my obstetrician based on medical and personal concerns. So I considered a vaginal birth after cesarean after my first son was born by cesarean and decided to have a repeat cesarean. So my first son was an emergency cesarean and my second was an elective.
Thank you for sharing.
To support Knocked Up, leave us a review or recommend to a friend. Join us on Instagram at Knocked Up Podcast and join Raelia at Dr. Raelia Lu. And email us your questions to podcast@womenshealthmelbourne.com.au.